Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm super excited to be sharing with you for a few minutes this morning with all of this ice that's coming down and the trees falling down a lot around us here. I'm just wondering if we're not going to be able to meet tomorrow morning, so I thought I'd share a few thoughts from the Word in case you have time to listen to them. Of course, it is Valentine's Day, but I want us to look at an even broader picture than that. The title of this message is A Response to the Love of God. And as you think about the Bible, it's very, very clear. It says that our God is love. He just is love. That's His whole character, His whole person. He's a lot of other things, but He is love. And we see that very clearly in the Old Testament. I think about Jeremiah 31. It says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. So I have drawn you with loving kindness. And in the New Testament, we see something similar. Paul wrote that he said, don't you realize that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? So we see God's love in those words as well. And also in the New Testament, the Bible tells us that God went even further because it says He sent His only Son to the earth. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus when he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. And Jesus took that so far that he went to the cross for you and me. Before he did so, he said these words. He said, greater love has no one than this, that one laid down his life for his friends. And dear brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ considers us his friends, and he laid down his life for us. So the question is, we see it's so clear that he's a God of incredible love. How should we respond to that? How do we respond to the love of God? It seems almost automatic to respond when someone mistreats us or hurts us, something just instantly rises up inside of us. But how do we respond to the love of God? Please pray together with me and turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 63. And we're going to take a look at this whole psalm, or well, most of it, all the way through verse 8. But David here is responding to God's love, and it's just such a beautiful picture. Let's pray and we'll dive in to God's Word together. Great God of glory, how I thank you for the privilege of holding your book, your Word, in my hands and having it on my lips, having it in my heart, and trying to live it out and trying to communicate it to others. And I just pray, God, that you will be the one at work here. Father, that you will be the one speaking, that you will be the one heard. Lord, I pray that you would give all of us ears to hear you and just show us, Lord, what is an appropriate response to the love of God. All right, so here we are in Psalm 63. If you look at those words, even before verse 1, it says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. So we know where David was when he wrote these words. And we're pretty sure what was going on is that he was running for his life from King Saul. So just put that in perspective for yourself for a moment. Have you ever felt kicked out, mistreated, unloved, abandoned, pursued by your enemies? Or maybe even worse yet, have you ever felt betrayed by your friends? Because that's exactly what David was experiencing here. Saul was his friend. It wasn't that way for his whole life. The first time David met Saul, Saul maybe didn't even know him. He was probably just brought into the room there with Saul. What was going on was Saul was being terrorized by these evil spirits, and they brought David in because he was a skillful player of the harp. And so he comes in and plays his harp, and it calms Saul's nerves. The second time is when there's a war going. And Goliath has come and he's challenging the armies of Israel. And everyone is scared to death of him. And when David comes and hears him speak, this faith rises up inside of him. And he says, who is this guy that he would taunt the armies of the living God? Don't let anyone be worried about it or his spirit be troubled because of him. I'll take care of it. God will take care of it. I'm going to go out here and in the name of God, in the power of God, with the help of God, I'm going to take this guy on. And so God is with David and he wins over Goliath. And all of a sudden, Saul goes, who is this guy? And so they bring David to Saul and they become friends. David's with Saul a lot. He comes into his own household and eats meals together with him. He ends up leading many of the troops and going in and out before Saul every single day. He ends up becoming Saul's son-in-law. He marries one of the man's own daughters. And Jonathan, Saul's son, becomes one of David's best friends. And yet because of Saul's, I would say, lust for power and jealousy of David, he ends up turning on him and starting to try to hunt him down and take his life away from him because of just so much jealousy. Now, I don't know about you, but if this were happening to me, if I were running for my life like this, I don't know if I could even think about anything else. I'd feel like I would probably be absorbed with it. But here David is, out in the wilderness of Judah, and he's more absorbed with God and the love of God. And he's responding to that even in this extremely difficult time of life. I just want us to go through these verses together, line by line, you know, phrase by phrase, and just think about this picture of David responding to the love of God. First of all, he says, O God, you are my God. All right, so he didn't say, hey, you're Abraham's God, you're Moses' God, you're my father Jesse's God. No, he said, you are my God. You are my personal friend and God and Savior. And so the question for us is he really ours? You know, it's not, well, we're looking to someone else's friend, but is he my friend? Next, he says, I will seek you earnestly. Several translations put those words differently. The New King James says, early, I will seek you. The newest New American Standard says, I'll be watching for you. I'll be watching for you. So in other words, you know, I think you could take this as, listen, when I run into trouble, when I get up in the morning, the first place my thoughts, my attention, my eyes are going to turn is to you, Lord. You are the very first thing, the very first place I will look. In my time of pain, need, disappointment, in my greatest joys, I'm going to look to you first. Next, David says, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Now, it's very possible David was going out through some deserts as he was running from King Saul. And so maybe he just was reminded, man, I'm thirsty. But then he thought, yeah, but you know what I'm really thirsty for is God, the love of God and the presence of God. And I think that's very possible because he goes right into verse 2 and he says, thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. You see, in those days, they had built a sanctuary, a large temple. And it was still a tent at this point because it was David's son, Solomon, who built the physical, the real, the big temple, the huge temple. So they still had this tent, but it was where they met with God. And so David's saying, listen, I've been there, and I see your power. I see your glory. I think about those things. I meditate on those things. And I just want to be in your presence. I want to be with you. I want to know you. He goes on to talk about it more in the very next verse. And this is a beautiful verse. He says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. Is that really true? Is God's loving kindness better than life? I think it's so true. You know, it's amazing that God's given us life. What an incredible gift life is. We get to enjoy all of His creation, enjoy good food, good friendship, good entertainment, just the cool breeze on your face and the warm sunshine on your shoulders. I mean, life is great. But the loving kindness of God is something that is even greater. And God wants to give us this. He wants us to see the love that He has for us. Let me give you an example of this, a very simple example, not an adequate example. But I think about Mary and Kathy. Kathy married me. And I am so glad that she did. I just enjoy her. She's such a good friend, such a hard working person. She is a loyal, faithful person. But you know what? She gives me something greater every single day than just being married. And that is, she gives me her love. She loves me. I'm so thankful she didn't just marry me because she felt sorry for me or wanted to get something out of me. You know, for example, she didn't marry me for my money. She often teases me and says, hey, yeah, I married you for your money. And of course, that's a big tease. But no, that is not why she married me. She married me to love me. And she does. And the same is true with God. God created you to love you and me. And when we went astray, He came and bought us back, and He did that so that He could love us. So go on with me to the next verse. David says, so I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. So David says, not only will my lips praise you, but my hands will too. And I like to think about this. What are you and I willing to do to return God's love? To say thank you to Him? Are we willing to tell others? Are we willing to talk about the greatness of God and the love of God? And are we willing to even do more than just talk about it? Are we willing to actually do something about it? I think this is the one of the fun things about Valentine's Day. In case you are not familiar with the story, let me tell you a little bit about it. There was this Catholic priest by the name of Saint Valentinus, and he was actually arrested and imprisoned for marrying soldiers. You see, Emperor Claudius thought that a married soldier was a distracted soldier. And so he didn't want anyone to do it, and I guess had some sort of law or commandment against it. But, St. Valentinus wanted people to know about the love of God, and he wanted them to be able to be married and experience that intimate, personal love in their lives as well. So he went on and did it, in spite of this king's commandment, and he was thrown in prison for it. Well, one of the Romans who was actually supposed to judge him was a fellow by the name of Asterius. Asterius had a daughter who was blind, and Saint Valentinus went and met with his daughter and prayed for her and healed her. And evidently he healed her so effectively that Asterius became a Christian. Anyway, later, Saint Valentinus was judged, he was condemned, he was sentenced to death. Actually, he was sentenced to a three-part death. They were going to stone him and maybe whip him and then behead him. But he wrote a final letter to Asterius' daughter before he died. And this is where Valentine's Day comes from for us. He said,
from your Valentine. And so that's where we get the expression, at least that's the way I understand that things went. But isn't that incredible? That this guy was so willing to do something about the love of God, you know, so that other people would experience it and hear about it and know it and feel what it felt like to be loved. And so I just love how David says, "So I'll bless you as long as I live. I'll lift up my hands in your name. I'm going to respond. I'm going to let others know. I'm going to let you know, God, that I love you. I am going to respond to you." He goes on in verse 5 to say, "My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips." The idea here is that God's love, God's friendship, God's nearness is just this satisfying. Think about it for a moment. Think about just when you've just finished your favorite meal at your favorite restaurant and you've also had your favorite dessert. And you're just satisfied. You're just like, man, that was good. And that's what David is saying God's love is like for him. His relationship with God is like for him. He goes on in verse 6. He says, "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches." So at night when David wakes up, it's dark, it's quiet, it's completely still, just the crickets are chirping, his thoughts turn to God and God's love. You know, and I have experienced this. I was telling you just last week about being out camping and hearing all the sounds of the night and looking up into the stars and then waking up that way the next morning. And I just have to agree. It just turns our hearts to the Lord, and it is a wonderful feeling. Verse 7, "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy." Can you remember how God has helped you in the past? Can you remember some time when maybe He delivered you from your troubles? He gave you answers to your questions. He comforted you in your sadness or your loss. Maybe you can remember His rewards. You can remember His rewards for things that you tried to do for Him. And it seems like that's what David is saying here. You know, "You've been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy." Under God's protection, under the shadow of God's wings, David is singing for joy. Look at one last verse with me. Look at verse 8. David says, "My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." What are the things you cling to in life? The things that you just refuse to let go of. Think about David's life with me for a moment. At this point in David's life, he was a shepherd boy for years and a very successful one. He wrote a lot of psalms. He spent time with God and grew in his relationship with God out there. He had killed a lion and a bear. He had served his dad and his brothers. Also at this point, he had killed Goliath. He had gone and served King Saul. He had been a leader in the army. He had married Saul's daughter. He had found a best friend. And he had been a successful military leader. He was the one that the young maidens came out and sang about when they were returning from battle. And they were saying, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. He's accomplished all these things. But what does he say the one thing his soul clings to is? He says, "It's the Lord. My soul clings to you." And in everything David had done, he felt it was God's right hand that had held him up. This was David's response to the love of God. And I believe the heart of the matter is, it's a deep, lasting relationship. Going back to the very first verse, he says, "You are my God, I will seek you earnestly." You know, I can't think of anything, really, that is adequate to compare this to in life. There's just no illustration that does the job. I want you to turn with me, if you would. I just want to read a couple of verses from Psalm 71, all right? Just a few pages over from where we're at, Psalm 71, because here David is writing again. And this is just kind of a capstone for me. It's a two bookends of this guy's relationship with God and his response to the love of God. Start with me in verse 14, Psalm 71, verse 14. "But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come." David had known God his whole life. He said, "You taught me in my youth." And now he says, "Even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come." David's response to the love of God is a deep, enduring, exciting, meaningful relationship with the God of glory, and a willingness to give that away to others, to give the love of God to others, to express this love to others. What a powerful thing. What a meaningful thing. I'm so excited about us being able to do this together, brothers and sisters, to both love one another and to love our Heavenly Father and to love those in the community around us. Let's keep at it. Let's keep doing it. I love you guys so much. I hope you have a happy day as you look outside and just see the beauty that God's put all around us. It's almost like Christmas decorations as I look out right now and see all of this ice on the trees. So beautiful. Please pray together with me. Oh, great God in heaven, our hearts just overflow with love for you, with thanksgiving for who you are, all that you've done, and we're just so thankful for your love that you have poured out for us over and over and over again. It's with us every day of our lives, Lord. From the day we're born until the day we leave this planet, Lord, how we thank you for it. And we just worship you in the wonderful name of Christ. Amen.